Come on in. He don't bite.
Dina snapped at me. I stepped forward at her command, and it wasn't until then that I allowed myself to focus in on the patient himself. A slight figure, covered almost entirely by a white sheet, his face and hands nearly as pale as the linens. Tess wiggled to get down, but I resisted, keeping her captive in my arms, lest she bump into a piece of medical equipment or step into hazardous body waste or something.
"Willie, how are you?"
Charles asked, approaching the bedside. Slowly, Tess and I followed suit.
"Dépouillé," quaked a weak voice from the bed.
Oh, yeah, ye. Charles replied sympathetically, in what I had to assume was Cajun, the two of them sounding as though they were from another planet.
"Thanks so much for bringing Miss Fairmont here,"
Willie said to Charles, switching to English, his deeply accented words punctuated by ragged breaths.
"I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, me."
The poor thing, he seemed very much near the end of his life, weak and small and still. Despite the trouble he had breathing, he was quite calm, and as he looked at me, I could see that there was a sparkle of life yet in his eyes. He attempted to give me a smile, but it came out as more of a wince.
"Little Miranda Fairmont," he rasped. "Long time no see."
I don't know what I had expected, but this wasn't it. This man didn't seem hysterical or agitated at all. Instead, the wife standing next to him was the agitated one, wringing her hands and looking at me with a mixture of suspicion and irritation.
"Her name ain't Fairmont no more, you idiot," Dina barked to her husband. "According to Mr. Bittershay, she's married now."
"Fairmont's fine," I said to Willie, ignoring her. "Miller. Miranda Miller."
"Whatever her name is, she's here now," Dina said. "Go ahead and tell us whatever it is you need to say to her."
As if in great pain, the man turned his head and looked at his wife with a withering glare, one that must have sucked up every speck of energy he possessed just to manage.
"Good and ready, Dina. Not a minute sooner."
Blinking, the woman matched his hateful glare with one of her own.
"Well, considering that you're going to be dead soon," she hissed, "you'd better hurry it up."
She had trumped him, apparently, winning the duel. He visibly withered, taking his eyes away from her face and sinking further into the covers. After a moment, he coughed wearily and closed his eyes. Whether this was their usual dynamic or not, I was extremely uncomfortable having Tess witness such a brutal exchange. Nathan and I had certainly been known to argue, but rarely with such venom, and never in front of our child. "If you people will excuse me," I said, summoning up my nerve, "I'm going to have to find someone to take care of Tess so that I can come back here by myself. This really isn't appropriate."
"I don't want a babysitter, Mommy,"
Tess whined, clutching my hips with her legs in a death grip. She always went to others easily, but I knew right now she was in unfamiliar territory and feeling on edge, as was I.
"Mr. Benishay, you're good with kids,"
Dina said in a voice that had suddenly switched from vinegar to sugar.
"Why don't you take the child out front where she can take a set of the swing?"
"That's a good idea,"
Willie added weakly from his bed, his eyes closed.
"Y'all go play a little pampy bone."
"I'd be happy to, Willie," Charles replied, "but I'd like to hear what you have to say first. We've all gone to a lot of trouble to get Miranda here so that you can talk to her."